Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, yeah. Hour number three. Here we are. Are you kidding me? Is this like Chamber of Commerce weather again?
Oh, yes.
Today?
It's awesome.
We don't deserve it, do we, Greg?
No, but we'll enjoy it.
We are not worthy, but thank you, Lord, for another awesome day with your awesomeness. And this is Holy Week, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So do the things you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Looks like the president, he's been making some comments this week about that in a very positive way, which is kind of nice. So always nice to kind of see that.
Yeah, because under Biden, what something happened that happened like right on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, something. It was like that visibility of transgender day
thing.
Yeah,
it's their visibility day or something.
You're like, hey, look at me. Look at me. I'm like, ooh. On Easter, really? Was that an accident or a coincidence? I don't think so.
Could have been like any other day.
But Easter, yeah. So, yeah, that'll be kind of a contrast to the Trump administration.
It is 8:07, your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling, and today would be what we call Tax Day, but for, you know, so many people in Florida, we were given a reprieve because of the hurricanes and stuff, so we've got a few more weeks than some Americans do, but man, don't procrastinate and put it off any further. I mean, sometimes you have to, but yeah. Try to get that done. Yet one less thing on your to-do list. The Trump White House planning, quote-unquote, extraordinary celebrations for Holy Week, packed full of events to honor the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. According to reports, the White House Faith Office is leading the charge on this week's events. It'll include a video message from the president, a pre-Easter dinner, and a White House staff Easter service. Fox News Digital reports that the dinner will be attended by many Christian faith leaders and feature Christian opera singer Charles Billingsley. Additionally, the staff worship service, slated to be held on Thursday, will feature Reverend Franklin Graham.
Interesting phrasing. He's not an opera singer. I mean, he could do it, but he's not an opera singer. He's a Christian vocalist, and he's amazing.
Yeah, they call him feature Christian opera singer.
Yeah, that's odd. Like I said, I think he's got the capability, but he's not known as an opera singer.
Yeah, I can't say that I have the palate, the appreciation, whatever the auditory equivalent of palate would be.
Yeah, an auditory palate. I like that.
My olfactory. Mm. That olfactory never was much.
I smell something.
To begin with, and now, you know, it ain't much better.
Did you make reference to, or is it just in my head, to Franklin Graham? Was that tied into that?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, because
he looks like his daddy.
Man, does he look like his dad.
I knew you.
Oh, I saw a picture of him connected to that story, I guess it was. And I really had to do a double take. I'm like, why do they have a picture of Billy on a Franklin Graham story? I'm like, wow, he really does look like his dad.
Yeah. So. Christian evangelist Franklin Graham praised the Trump administration for devoting the week to recognizing the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ, contrasting with, what happened last year. Mm-hmm. President Joe Biden, what was it called? Transgender Day of Visibility. Home run, Greg. You got it. I knew it was a transgender thing. I don't remember the visibility.
Because it was like, let's pay attention to that. And like on Easter, are you kidding me? That's why I remember it. I was so irritated.
Yes. You make life as nice and happy as you can for the 1% and, you know, put the screws to everybody else, I guess.
Yeah, right.
That's how it used to be.
I don't know that we had anymore. A faith office under the Biden administration.
They had like DEI offices and things like that. Social justice offices.
Yeah.
Ceiling.
LGBTQ, MOUSE.
Wealth redistribution offices. Yes, they were charading as something to do with climate change or something.
But, yeah, the green office, but no faith office that I'm aware of.
No, I don't think they, nope. They didn't have that one.
Because if we had one, they didn't do their job enough that we knew they existed.
Indeed. Hey, why aren't we digging? Let's get to work, people. This is something we can do at home. When's the last time you dug a nice big hole in your backyard?
It's been a while. Maybe since I planted something.
I would love to dig a hole and put a pool in.
That's a big hole.
Now,
you got a lake in your
backyard,
I'm
not worried about the
hole.
I'm worried about how much the whole project would cost, really. It's the biggest thing. But if I dig my own hole and then find one of them prefab, you know, fiberglass dealios, I could get it done a little cheaper that way.
Sure.
Okay.
Make sure you do it right.
Well, I'm not going to make any ridiculous promises.
I'm just saying, you've had a few projects that didn't turn out quite right.
What is it? Good, cheap, or fast? My friend, you say good, cheap, or fast? Pick two.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get all three.
So my point was, we all should dig some holes, just like we all should plant some trees. Trees and holes don't really go together, but plant trees to fight climate change. They produce oxygen.
Sure.
And dig holes to find rare earth minerals.
Ah.
I mean, why can't we have our own little, you know, gold rush here in America? That way we don't have to worry about China.
Because
apparently they're stopping the exports of crucial rare earth minerals. And I'm like, I can get by without them as long as they give us dysprosium and yttrium. When do they come up with these words?
I don't know.
It's way too syllabic and
yes,
way too many Y's and T's together. Mm. Yttrium, it's Yttrium. Yttrium.
Okay.
You know why you haven't heard of it, Greg?
Why?
Because it's rare. Get it?
I get it.
Get it?
That explains a lot.
Why can't we dig these things up on... I don't mean in your backyard, literally. Right. But I mean, why can't Trump just say, okay, look, we got all this federal land, man.
I think there has actually been some regulation issues probably put in place by previous administration.
That's what executive orders are made for. Do away with all that nonsense.
Yeah, because I think that's been part of our problem. And again, if we could get that silly agreement worked out with Ukraine, that would be helpful in that regard, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather tear holes in their countryside than ours, but hey, you got to do what you got to do. I've been out west, and what was it, like parts of Montana and stuff? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they pulled a bunch of coal out of there and stuff, but, you know, when they're done with it, looks fantastic.
Yep.
I'm fine with it, you know? But I know we're doing some things in that area. We're moving toward that. And it is not just the rare earth. It is also the ability to process them that we fell way behind in. I think we're finally starting to make some headway there. But I haven't heard or seen much in terms of news reports or anything on the business channels. Because to me, I mean, I don't give out stock tips, but wouldn't that kind of be a good one? A company that says, yeah, we're building rare earth processing, manufacturing in, you know, out west right now, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah. So there are things that we do need in tech, in automobiles, but really defense industries apparently is, that's a big deal. And when you're dealing with aircraft and other things, apparently some of this rare earth stuff is pretty necessary. And, China previously threatened to cut us off that deal. That was back in 2019, but we were able to work things out, and hopefully we will here. But once again, how many times do you have to learn the lesson that we rely too much on our adversary?
What have we done since COVID to fix just those problems alone that we dealt with?
Yeah, just pharmaceutical manufacturing abilities here. Yeah, Ed Trump's doing exactly the right thing. He's like, no, we're going to, you know, give you the carrot to come back to the U.S. and manufacture here. And if you don't want the carrot, we'll give you the stick. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Good morning. Welcome. It's 8:15. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here on a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. And you're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Wow. Going to be another beautiful day. Welcome. Good morning. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday. Thanks to Florence Recycling. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And we've got plenty to talk about. But first, I want to give stuff away because, you know, that's our nature, right? And we want to give you tickets to rock the country, baby. We the people. Coming to Florida Horse Park in Ocala. That's May 9th and 10th. Kid Rock. Hank Williams Jr., Tracy Lawrence, Gavin Adcock, Joe DiMessina, and more. Two-day tickets are $139 each, but tickets are on sale now at rockthecountry.com, but I have a chance for you to win them. And here's all you have to do. Text the word I'm about to give you to 20357. Okay, you ready? Horse, H-O-R-S-E, text HORSE to 20357 for your chance to win a pair of two-day tickets for Rock the Country. Tomorrow morning, we'll have another code word and another chance to win tickets. And we'll keep doing it until they say, we don't have any more tickets, Bob, stop. But until then, good luck, enjoy. It's going to be a great time. Oh, and data and message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yesterday, the president sat down with another president. The president of El Salvador, and it seems like they had a pretty fantastic meeting.
They were enjoying themselves, weren't they?
Yeah.
They really were.
They were, and there were some media members there that had to, well, you know,
yeah,
be the way they are. Mm-hmm. They asked about that. What's his name? Kilmer Abrego Garcia. He's the one that got on the plane.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Of all the times, you know, you wish you were flying nonstop, these clowns, these MS-13 gang members actually get nonstop all the way to South and Central America. Anyway, so, yes, it came up again because the Supreme Court ruled, oh, yeah, you got to bring this guy back. It's like, I don't think it works that way. Again, I'm not one to go, oh, you got, you know, override the Supreme Court. It's just, I don't think it works that way. I mean, you tell me. Look, Pam Bondi, the U.S. Attorney General, she says he was illegally in our country. Right? Everybody got that? And then two immigration court decisions. Garcia has ties to MS-13. That was the first ruling. And then another one came out and said, yes, he has ties and is a member of MS-13. So you had two judgments, you know, deportation. Now, yes, years passed, but that doesn't matter. Right? He was here illegally. And, but I guess the asylum application is what kind of caused some issues.
Mm, that's the glitch in this, huh?
Yeah. And his, well, his claim for asylum, look, and look, there are legitimate claims for asylum. If you're, sure. you know, a well-known promoter of, say, capitalism, and the country was taken over by a bunch of commies, and you say they're killing all the people that think like me, then they might say, okay, you have a case for asylum. But remember also how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to go to the next nearest country that will provide you safe haven. You don't just get to pick the country and apply for asylum. At least that's not how the law reads. But, of course, under Biden, you know, anybody could come in. So his asylum application, he argued he could face persecution from rival groups like the Barrio 18 gang was under consideration. Now, Secretary of State Rubio argued Monday that the foreign policy of the United States is conducted by the President of the United States, not by a court. He said, I don't understand what the confusion is. This individual is a citizen of El Salvador. He was illegally in the United States and was returned to his country. That's where you deport people, back to the country of origin. A Maryland federal judge had set a April 7th deadline for Garcia's return to U.S. soil. In an order to be handed down April 10th, the High Court directed the administration to facilitate Garcia's release from custody in El Salvador. And to ensure that the case was handled, it would have not been improperly sent to El Salvador, though the deadline is no longer in effect. Look, here's the deal. There's the El Salvador president sitting right there with our president. And he basically said, you want me to, like, smuggle him back into the U.S.? You know? And, yeah, he was being a little snarky about it. He said that it was very arrogant, even for American media, to suggest that President Trump would tell El Salvador how to handle their own citizens. He said this right, you know, right in front of Trump and everybody.
Yeah.
And nice. And this guy has been a friend, big-time friend to the U.S. And the left is getting, you know, all riled up. Murders taking place, rapes taking place, incredible levels of heinous crime, some of the worst things you can imagine. Gang members behind a lot of it. And all the left can do is worry that the paperwork wasn't really in order for a known gang member. Are you kidding me? That's what they've got, and that's what they keep pestering everybody about? Really? Yeah. You want that guy so bad, yeah, you go get him. Mm-hmm. And you bring him into your home.
Yeah.
How many liberals do you think that, you know, are outraged on this would ever open their home to the likes of this guy?
Well, there's some folks who've done some videos when they'd see people out, you know, that are kind of pro-immigration, and they would, you know, question them first about the legitimacy, the importance of having them here. And then it would say, well, great, because this particular one right here, Jose, he needs a place to stay for the next couple of weeks.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
No takers. No,
yeah, of course.
They're like all in unless they have to do something themselves.
Yeah.
Or bring them into their own home. Yeah, then they change their mind.
Well, look how wacky they are on that Luigi guy.
Oh, my goodness.
That's Luigi crazy. Mangione. He's a guy that, you know, family man, father, and point blank just blew his brains out, basically, on the sidewalk in New York.
Because he was mad at the insurance company.
Yeah, and he's treated like somewhat of a like a folk hero.
Yeah.
He's an assassin and a cowardly one. And he killed an, you know, unarmed, innocent man. Oh, yeah, you might have all kinds of issues with the insurance companies and what they do and what they don't do and all that. But you're going to murder somebody to make a statement?
Okay?
And people do it because they're crazy. But the sad thing is, like I say, the people who think that that is okay.
So you get mad at a corporation and you can assassinate the CEO or the president because you're mad at the company. And that's supposed to be an okay thing in our society.
And you haven't had enough people from the left really speak out against it. I mean,
no, they don't.
They won't speak out against the violence against Tesla owners, cars, the charging stations. Yep. We'll talk about that a little bit further coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy Trash Talking Tuesday from Florence Recycling. It is 8:28, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. So it's Holy Week, and dying eggs has absolutely nothing to do with the death and resurrection of Christ. However, it is something that many families have enjoyed, including mine, through the years, to dye eggs. But this year, it may not make economic sense.
Yeah.
You were just reading some kind of statistic, Greg. What was it?
Yeah, they're saying 47% of Americans less likely to dye eggs this year, just because of the price.
Did you grow up being the dyer of eggs?
Oh, yeah, we always did. I mean, obviously, with my dad being a pastor, we knew the real meaning of Easter and the whole bit. But, you know, it was also very much a tradition. I still have fond memories. As a little kid, get a new suit, get new shoes, get your Easter basket, you know, there'd be something. And I don't know if everybody did this. And maybe with my family being from the South, maybe it was more common. I know that Mom would put something at the front door on Easter morning.
Oh, really?
Almost kind of like, you know, kind of like a Christmas thing, but like you'd get this little basket that would show up with some goodies in it.
So it was shared. It was for the family, theoretically.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And she still gets me a chocolate bunny once in a while on Easter.
I'm not surprised, and I think that's just as sweet as can be.
Yeah, she's
awesome. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
We did it for the, you know, the baskets laid out. I shouldn't say, you know, my ex, she was great putting baskets together for the kids and stuff like that. And that, these are family memories, but without the eggs, it might be a little different this year.
You can do the plastic ones, put goodies in them, you know.
Yeah. You probably at the end of the day might spend as much anyway.
Probably so, yeah. Just buy the eggs.
Yeah. We've got the 6th Annual Appreciation Dinner coming up, and I want to invite everybody out to this. It's April 26th at the World Equestrian Center, and all the proceeds benefit Soldiers Freedom Outdoors. This is an organization I've been involved with for years now, and the idea is healing the hidden wounds of war. We've got, you know, so many people that have served and they come back, and the suicide rate is just, it's unacceptable. It's crazy. And this kind of thing where they can go off on a retreat and relax if they want to, or learn skills if they want to, learn blacksmithing or equestrian. They can care for horses, ride horses. I mean, it is it's wonderful that the work is done there, and they keep the overhead extremely low. So if you'd love to participate in the 6th Annual Appreciation Dinner, we'd love to have you. It's April 26th at the World Equestrian Center. And there's going to be dinner, of course, drinks, silent auction, live auction. One of the guest speakers, Major General James the Hammer Hartzell, who has unbelievable great stories to tell. So you're in for a real treat if you can make it. For more information, please go to soldiersfreedomoutdoors.org. They'd love to, if you're a business or something and you want to sponsor a table, that would be, you know, just fantastic. Ready? Soldiersfreedomoutdoors.org. Thank you for your continued support of a very worthy cause. It's appreciated. There's the name of a band, and it's a little bit important to the story. The guy's name is Keith Morris, and he's the front man of a Los Angeles punk band called The Circle Jerks, and he's called for an army of Luigis in support of the alleged UnitedHealthcare CEO assassin. An army of Luigis.
That's unreal.
I mean, look, the whole punk scene is, you know, to go against the norms and all that, but
calling out for an army of murderers, people who will step up and kill somebody and shoot them in the back in cold blood, really?
Yeah, that's
wow.
He even had a song. Final day of the Coachella Music Festival's first weekend after a rendition of the band's politically charged song Coup d'etat, which features the line "Kill all." While Morris, the lead singer, said he does not support the statement "kill all," he at least appeared to support the idea of killing some.
Wow.
That song, that last line ends with "kill all." That's pretty blanking ugly statement in ugly times. Do you think we encourage that? What we do encourage, what would be totally blanking happening, would be an army of Luigis. And you know exactly what he means. He means Luigi Mangione, who's been charged with the assassination of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Morris also said during his set that he cut off ties with his sister for voting for that guy, presumably Trump, referring to her, his sister, as a white Christian nationalist. Okay, so vote for Trump, bad.
Right.
Support cold-blooded murdering assassins, good. Okay, I just wanted to... Just want to get this straight.
We're not going to kill everybody, but just a few is okay, apparently, according to this dude.
Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines and Two-Stroke, good morning.
Hey, yeah, you know, like if you've ever run into somebody on the street and, you know, you obviously know that they're having mental issues and you try to reason with them and you know that you're not getting anywhere. Well, that's like 40% of the population of this country, you know, when does it end? You know, like people don't understand that, like, these people are mentally ill. You know, you can't reason with somebody that's mentally ill. Just try and reason with some crackhead bum drunk in Gainesville, in downtown Gainesville, that's trying to steal your stuff. You know, these people have never been treated. And this is the entire left. This is the entire side of the Democrat Party. There's a very small segment of those people that still have their senses, but the rest of them are crazy, just like Crockett.
Crazy Crockett.
Yep.
King of the Wild Frontier. All right, so to your point, and look, I've utilized these terms. Michael Savage years ago said, you know, liberalism is a mental disorder. I mean, you can slice it and dice it. But really, I just think a great analogy for this that applies to the gender issue may also apply to this. And that is, if you've ever known or read about, in some detail, somebody who is suffers from anorexia.
Yes.
And what they see in the mirror, let's say they're skin and bones, they won't eat because in the mirror, to them, they look hideously fat. They have a really distorted view of themselves. And it's, how can you say it's not real? I mean, they will swear to you that is what they see. You can show them, you can grab their skin and say, you have nothing here, you have no fat at all. It doesn't matter. People die from that disease because they really, really believe it.
So would the right thing to do be encourage them to be on a diet? Would, you know, and just play into their dysmorphia? Would that be the right thing to do?
No, it wouldn't.
Okay.
But the trick is, okay, then how do you kind of snap them out of it, if you will? What what can you do? What can you say?
Right.
What needs to occur? I mean, they'll see things happening right before them, and everybody will go, yeah, well, that happened because Trump did this or Trump did that. And as soon as you say the T word, it's like, you know, their whole world turns upside down. They can't handle it. I don't know what the answers are. I really don't. I mean, look, think about it. There's people, there's family members that have cut off other family members, and I'm not saying this happens all the time, but the vast majority of it is one way. It is the lefties cutting off their family members that voted for, supported, or said something nice about Donald Trump. Cut them off. I mean, when in the history of your life have you ever heard anybody in your family, relatives, distant relatives, where they said, I'm cutting that person off because they voted for X, Y, or Z? I mean, we are at this, we're at it. It's a new, scarier level, I guess you could call it that. And they really believe they're correct. They think they're correct. They think we are the nut jobs, the oddballs, that we're nationalistic, that we're Heil Hitler following this guy and, you know, in lockstep. They think we are. They think we are the kooky ones.
Well, the question pondered by Sky Lister just checking in. What happens when the day comes that these people are out and about doing their violence and people decide to start standing up and responding? You know, who's going to be treated like the bad guy was the question.
Well, that is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of reminds me of the movie The Beekeeper with Jason Statham. He's really doing the work of, like, real justice, right and wrong.
Yeah.
But yet he is being pursued heavily by the FBI, who are trying to stop somebody they perceive to be a madman killer.
Right.
So
makes you think about it.
It does make you think about it.
Yep.
All right. And I won't give away the movie. But, you know, there's a lot of people buzzing about it.
Wow.
Honey. Honey, don't look at me like that.
That was pretty sharp, Bob. That was pretty sharp.
8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. We've got a lot more to talk about coming up. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Happy Trash Talking Tuesday, brought to you by Florence Recycling. Good morning and welcome. It is 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and here we have another one. A judge blocking Trump from revoking legal status, and this really could affect 500,000 or more migrants who flew into the U.S. via the Biden program. We're talking from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela, and this was a mass humanitarian parole, I'm doing in parentheses here, program. Yeah, and a federal judge blocked the Trump administration from revoking the legal status and work permits of more than 530,000 migrants from the countries I just named. And they came through the CHNV, a mass humanitarian program. In her order, the judge, Indira Talwani, an Obama appointee, wrote that each migrant needs to have an individualized case-by-case review. And I believe that when the Biden administration pulled this shenanigans, that they knew that they could get somebody to try to force that kind of an order.
What would it take to do that?
You're talking about a massive undertaking that would clog these. They're already a huge backlog, years of backlog. Mm-hmm. You're just going to create more and more years of backlog. And remember, that's part of the plan. That's what the left does. They create chaos. Okay. And while the chaos is going on, they're doing other things that are not good. The termination of parole processes for Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans is hereby stayed pending further court order insofar as it revokes without case-by-case review the previously granted parole work authorization issued to non-citizens paroled in the U.S., et cetera, et cetera. Biden created the program via executive parole authority. And I'm trying to remember exactly how that tried to pass muster, if you will. I think it was supposed to be used on a very limited basis, under limited conditions, and he just made it like a completely broad wave them all in kind of a thing. And the program was launched in 2022, initially first applied to Venezuelans, then it expanded to additional countries. And you know, the Biden administration, you know what they argued? They argued that this kind of parole program would help reduce illegal crossings at the southern border. In other words, they said, if you're flying them in, yeah, and they're not going through the border, theoretically, yes, you theoretically are reducing illegal crossings.
That's one way to do it.
But it doesn't, of course, it doesn't make any sense. And then they say, and that would allow for better vetting of people entering the country amid an influx of migrants. I mean, this is really, what would you call it? Story fabrication? Twisted logic? The program was temporarily paused after widespread fraud was found. No. Several recipients also were arrested for high-profile crimes, including multiple child rapes. Yep. This program allowed the migrants and their immediate family members to fly into the U.S. as if they had American sponsors. They could then remain in the country for 2 years under a temporary immigration status known as parole. Officials with Department of Homeland Security and the Trump administration said this Judge Talwani essentially ruled that Trump can't use his own executive authority, the same authority that Biden used, and he can't use it to revoke the parole that Biden granted. Which, think about it, Trump used executive orders to close the border while he was in, and then Biden undid them all through his own executive orders.
Exactly.
So he was allowed to do that, but now this one judge,
yes,
is trying to say that, no, Trump can't undo a previous executive order. Of course they can.
Sure.
That's the nature of executive order is, well, who is the executive?
Right.
Who is the chief executive? The president. There's only one.
And it's not a judge.
And it's not Biden.
No.
Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Jeff, you're on the air.
We used to all agree about how law was designed, written, and applied. Now the left uses that process to get what they want. Conservatives use that process to do what is right. And this judge that is saying that these illegal aliens can stay until they get a trial is absolutely ridiculous, and he should be disbarred. You can come here now illegally. You can be here illegally until you get a trial. That is insane. God bless America.
Look, if you break into someone's house and then the police come there, they say, look, you're lucky the judge is out of town.
Right.
But he's going to come back Monday. And so by Monday, you better be in court.
But until then, you can stay in this person's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Just stay. They'll make room for you.
Yeah.
They'll feed you while you're here. If you have any medical issues, they'll take care of you, and they'll give you a place to sleep.
Yep.
Need a car? Yeah.
And the Biden administration, the shadow, whoever's, they knew exactly what they were doing, creating this exact kind of chaos. So while Trump is really trying to get us rolling economically, trying to deal with other nations, trying to deal with trade issues, trying to stop the war between Ukraine and Russia, trying to keep things escalating with China and Iran and North Korea, they know that if they could unleash all this other chaos, he will be less effective, you know, as a president. Nasty, nasty people, I'm telling you, with evil thoughts and intentions, frankly. But other than that, it's another awesome day. because we live here in Florida, and it is awesome. We're approaching, what, 8:50? Yeah, we're right there, 8:57. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. The 9 o'clock stretch is coming up next on 97.3 The Sky.